Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Messy & Co. I am Ashley, here as always, with my incredible co-host, Gian, to talk about lots of exciting things, including the return of one Lionel Messi. Gian, how are you doing? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday to you, too. Doing great. Excited talking to Miami. Excited that Messi's back, and a lot to talk about that, definitely. So that's exciting. And then before we get into it, I did want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of you that have been watching and listening. We had over 1,700 of you watch our last episode. So that's amazing. Keep doing what you guys are doing. Make sure you like this video. I know we usually say it at the end, but I want to make sure everybody that's listening now, because that did huge for us. All those thumbs up that you guys put on our last video really helped the algorithms. It helped get the video out to everybody. And we just had a ton of fun. Everybody just commenting and letting us know how much they enjoyed the episodes. And that just means a lot for us. So yeah, I'm excited to keep doing what you guys are doing. We really appreciate all the support. And Ash, I'm happy. I'm happy to be here. And let's talk some Inter Miami.
Amazing. I love that. Well, before we even move on, and as we're about to do a recap of obviously Saturday's match, that includes the fact that unfortunately I lost and you won in terms of score predictions. But not only that, I think there were a couple others who got the prediction right too. I think I saw one or two comments on the YouTube section of people who guessed correctly. Do you want to give them a shout out?
Yeah, of course. Let me look at them. I'm actually looking them up right now, and I want to look at those score predictions because we did say that we were going to give them a shout out. So let's look at these. I'm looking through them right now.
And we can switch while you're doing that. We can just say, yeah, I mean, Messi return. What else is there to say, right?
Like, no, of course. All right, so I got it here. We've got three to one Miami win from TSR 3007. So that's one that got it right along
He's
with me.
He's living in the future. He knew.
let's see who else got it. We have somebody here that put 2-1, 5-1. Oh, you know, 5-1. I would have loved to see that. So we had one person get it right. So congratulations to TSR 3007. You got it right. Look, you and me at the top of the podium getting things right. Hey.
Yastradamus. He's back. But okay, cool. Awesome. Well, shout out to him or her for what was a great prediction. We both were right, though, in saying that Inter Miami were going to score three goals. I think how that happens and how the whole game went may be slightly different. We'll start with this. You know, everyone is excited. As we sort of predicted and said, if Messi's available to play, he's going to start because that's what he does. He doesn't like – if he wants – like if he's ready to play, he doesn't like to, you know, not play. So – he started. We had probably what Tata considers to be kind of, I think, the A1 lineup, if possible. You know, when everyone is available, this is what the lineup would look like. I think, you know, defensively, obviously, we're going to talk about it later. Maybe that will be some changes. The obvious change was that Yannick Bright was moved to the bench in order to account for Messi coming back into the team, and meaning Gressel would stay in midfield. We talked about what that could look like and, you know, the positives and negatives that come along with it. And sure enough, within the first 57 seconds, Philadelphia scored a goal. It was a good goal, to be fair. It wasn't we should have done better, but it was a good goal, and Inter Miami kind of had it all to do. And, you know, then people started getting nervous and they're like, oh, well, Messi comes back. And now all of a sudden we can't know what we're supposed to do. But after 20 minutes pass, Messi goes ahead and scores with his right foot, and then 2 minutes later scores again, and shows just the fact that he's the greatest in the world. And from that point on, you know, Inter Miami felt like, for the most part, they could have scored more. They could have scored more before the Suarez goal at the end. It felt like they could have scored more. It felt like Philadelphia could have scored. You know, it was a pretty open game. But all in all, 3-1 victory. Got what we needed, continuing the, I guess, the run to hopefully win the supporter shield.
Yeah, exactly. Messi comes back and just puts on an incredible performance. Just insane. I mean, you expected him to come back and be in good form, as he always does. He always looks great when he's on the pitch. But I don't know if you saw or anybody else saw two goals and one assist in, you know, in his first game coming back since June 1st, I think is just incredible to put on such an amazing performance. And he just continues to break records back to back to back. It's just
the first incredible. Goal too. Cut so back he, to the right.
No, yeah, it's just nasty. A pleasure to see him on the pitch. And again, he comes back and he actually ends up surpassing Sebastian Giovinco, if I pronounce that right, as the fastest player in MLS history to record at least 15 goals and 15 assists. Giovinco did that in 29 games.
Only Messi, playing 13.
Yeah, Messi does it in 10 fewer games. He breaks that record. So that's just insane. If that wasn't enough, he's actually now tied for third place in MLS for most goal contributions with 14 goals and 14 assists in 2024, despite playing 1,125 minutes less. That's insane. So just the fact that he's able to do all of this and missing all these games, I mean, yeah, you want him on the pitch as much as possible. It's a pleasure to see him. He puts on a show. But the guy doesn't play in 3 months, and he's just – continues to break records.
What would have happened if he had played every eight? Like, if he played every eight.
I can't even imagine the records he would have broken. Yeah. No, that's just incredible. So, yeah. I mean, I think that it's just an understatement just to say how much he means to this team and how much better this team is with him on the pitch is incredible. So that was just great to see. I know that you mentioned, obviously, just as you were going through the game and some of the highlights of the game, you mentioned obviously Inter Miami being scored on first, right? And that's something that we have, unfortunately, at times become too accustomed to. And we tend to mention that a lot in our pregame shows about how it's going to be important for Miami to set the tone from the very beginning. I think you don't want to have to be playing catch up. But as we're talking about that, Inter Miami is actually has joined the 2015 DC United team as the only two teams in league history to win 8 regular season matches in a single season after conceding a goal first. So yeah. This is I think that we've mentioned it before, the Inter Miami tends to be like a second half team. They're a team that maybe, I don't know if it's overconfidence. Maybe it's overconfidence. Maybe they know how good they are, where they maybe don't take the opponent as serious from the beginning. And they'll play a little bit too lax, they'll play a little bit too reckless. But once they see that goal go in the back of their net, they're like, okay, let's put our pants on. Let's go out there. Yeah. So Inter Miami is just one of those teams that you never count out. And they'll tend to play a little lax at the beginning, but then they'll find their way. I just hope that as we move forward, especially when you're in the playoffs against some of these really good teams, you don't want to continue in those bad habits. I think it's a bad habit. Yeah. I think maybe others will even though we're winning, I think it's a bad habit, and it's something that you want to see rectified and just play your best from the very beginning, from minute one, especially getting into the playoffs and as we try to close out this supporter shield, which looks very much like something that's going to happen. So, but Messi brace, man of the match return. Him, Jordi Alba, and Suarez were all on the team of the match day, so that was great to see as well. And then Noah Allen was on the young players of the match day as well. So just
great job coming in.
Great performance across the board for everybody.
Agreed. Yeah, 100%. I think, it's just – I think you even saw maybe the first 15 minutes, Messi was like slowly getting his feet under him.
Yeah.
Not unless he felt like sure of it, didn't make a darting run because he wanted to, I guess, kind of just build himself. And as soon as those floodgates opened in, what was it? I think the 22nd minute, from that point on, he was like just going. And he looked good. He said he felt good at the end of the match. He played obviously the full 90 and he said, yeah, I'm a little tired from the heat, but I'm fine. Like, physically he felt fine. So good to hear. Suarez too got a beautiful goal at the end outside of the box, scored another goal that was beautiful, but was waved off for an inch of offsides. So yeah, it's funny because people are already starting the debate like, well, is Messi shouldn't be in the MVP race? He hasn't, he's only played a third of the games, all those things. And I don't necessarily disagree with it. I understand, it's a full season. I think Suarez certainly should be in the conversation for MVP with the amount of goals and contributions he's done throughout the whole season pretty consistently. But look, you have Messi contributed to all three goals in this game. And he, you know, to the point, what is it already? It's at 28 goal contributions for the season. We have six or seven games left.
I think,
you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's just, he plays, he's a different planet. Like, he is the best player in the league. He's the best player, I still think, in the world.
Yeah, I think it really depends how you see or how you interpret that MVP role, right? Or that MVP award. I don't know how much of his team stepping up and players stepping up and thought that doing better in the midst of his absence, if that's necessarily a knock on the importance of Messi on this team. Right. That's, I think, what is being weighed on certain viewpoints where some people are saying, hey, he shows, obviously he's a great player. I think that those that are in disagreement that he would earn the MVP are not saying that he's not the best player. They're just saying that how valuable is he really to the team if his team is able to go, you know, is able to string together really good performances, put together points, continue first in the Supporters Shield standings without him. How important is he to that team? And I'll say that I don't think that that should be a knock on him. I think he's very important to this team, and I think that his team just stepped it up because for him and for him to come back. I think maybe, you know, if this didn't happen and he was still playing a lot of these games, that obviously that MVP conversation, there wouldn't be so much I think, a divide between opposite sides. I think he still deserves the MVP. I think that he's very valuable to this team. I think that he's the reason why a lot of these players were able to step up in his absence. I think that they've learned a lot from him. I think that they've gained the confidence that they wouldn't have had if he wasn't on the pitch. I think that there are a lot of players that wouldn't even be on this team if Messi wasn't on here. They would have gone to other teams. So I think that is also very important to this team. And then, as you said, look at the amount of goal contributions that he has on this team with so much of a difference in time played to others that are in the same category. So if it's me, I give it to him, but I can understand some of the dialogue that has gone between, you know, a few of these that have differing opinions.
Yeah, no, and I mean, by the way, also, I think Suarez, especially if he keeps scoring goals and we end up winning Supporters Shield and hopefully MLS Cup, Suarez has been an absolute consistent rock this whole season, getting goals when needed, when Messi plays, when Messi doesn't play, doesn't matter. Suarez was scoring and leading the team, so he deserves equal amount of praise and efforts. But we'll see, right? We'll see how the next couple of games play out. We obviously expect Messi to hopefully play in some capacity in all of them. And because of that, that means things get a little bit more interesting. And what do we think is going to happen in these games? So, Gian, if you were someone who had prize picks, for example, what do you think is going to happen in, let's say, tomorrow's match against Atlanta?
Yeah, so to me, you know, I'm looking at our prize picks props, and this is something that we have a lot of fun doing, you know, while we're watching some of these games. There's a lot of really cool props out there. We can probably share some of them right now. And actually, I will. You know what? Speaking of, I actually will. So let me show you one here on Prize Picks. Prize Picks is obviously one of our favorite sponsors. They sponsor us at Five Reasons Sports, and we love that added bit of fun that we get to kind of look at some of the players on our favorite teams and decide what do we think they're going to look like and what their performance is going to be in each individual game. So obviously, one of our favorites, name of the show, Lionel Messi, right now, you can actually go on Prize Picks and you use code 5 and you're actually going to get matched up to, I believe, is it the first $100 that you deposit, you'll get matched up to. So that's huge. It's free money.
A lot of money, so, free money. Yeah, you get promo funds every time you enter.
Exactly. So what you can actually do is click on Lionel Messi. His prop is up versus Atlanta United, 7:30 p.m. He's actually at 0.5 goals right now. So you can click on this one and actually bet on this one and put if you believe he's going to score at least more than half a goal, which means obviously you believe he's going to score a goal. So you can go ahead and hit put more on that. If it hits, then you're going to go ahead and win, depending on how many other squares that you actually picked. You can pick, I believe, up to 6 different picks. So it'll tell you, it'll give you the math there and say, based on this amount of squares that you picked and the amount that you get right, this will be the payout. So it's actually fun. It adds fun to the game. I love it. I always think Messi's going to score. So if I see this one, I'm definitely putting more on Lionel Messi. Another one that's actually fun, and I'll bring it up here. We've actually got four more squares for Inter Miami. So that's always exciting. There's more options here. These are a little bit more, I think, going to take some more thinking and analyzing as to which one of these you're going to take. But we now have a goal for Benja Cremaschi.
Who just signed an extension, homegrown.
Yeah, who just signed an extension. So that's exciting for him. Started out at the U17 in the academy over the last few years, has really cemented himself as a very important part of this team. So it's great for him to re-sign a couple. I believe it's still through 2027, so that's always exciting. So he's at 0.5 goals, meaning if you think he's going to score at least one goal, you can go ahead and click more on that one. Then we've got Luis Suarez. 0.5 goals. You can also click more on that one. For me,
I'm taking
that all day, every day. You got Matias Rojas, 0.5 goals, same thing.
That's not 100% sure if he's going to play or in what capacity, so that's exactly, you know, in advance.
Exactly. And then you got Federico Redondo, two tackles. Is going to have less than one tackle or more than two tackles. So that's going to be something that you, I mean, he's a guy that's very, very much intertwined in that defense, in that midfield, and disrupting. So for me, I don't know yet. I'd have to kind of look at it. And if you click on that little bar graph to the top left-hand corner of the square, it'll actually show you how he's done based off of that, those tackles over the last few games. So you can kind of analyze that and say, okay, you know what? It looks like he's had at least three tackles over the last three out of the last five games or whatever. Then you can be like, okay, I feel comfortable taking this one at more, and you can go ahead and click more. So yeah. Just make sure you guys sign up for Prize Picks, use code 5, and let us know what you picked. And what we can do is kind of share some of your guys' picks over the next few episodes. That's always exciting to see how we do. But for me, I'm definitely going more on Luis Suarez and more on Messi. I really believe those two guys are going to score against Atlanta United. So that's always exciting. Prize Picks, make sure you sign up.
Awesome. I couldn't agree more. And that's definitely the offensive side we feel good about. We'll talk in a little bit about who we think is going to start, who's maybe going to be on the bench, how that's going to relate in terms of, you know, it's a midweek game, it's on turf in Atlanta, a couple factors that sometimes play into it. But offensively, we feel pretty good. The issue, unfortunately, will be on the defensive end of the field, knowing that we are going to be short-staffed big time as it relates to this specific match, and probably Saturday too. To start with, yellow card accumulation, no Tomas Aviles, no Sergio Busquets. David Martinez obviously came out with an injury in the first half of the game, our left center back.
4 to 5 weeks on that one.
Yeah, so he will be out for a couple of weeks. And then Noah Allen came in, who did a great job, but unfortunately towards the end of the game got a concussion, or is in concussion protocol. He may not have a concussion, but he's in concussion protocol, so he can't play Wednesday. Hopefully he can play Saturday. So obviously that really limits our defensive options. And before we even say who we think is going to play, I want to take a moment and say that I have been really disappointed in Tomas Aviles, to be completely honest with you, because he obviously is incredibly talented. He's had a lot of good matches for us. He's had a lot of good plays, but almost, I would say at least 90% of the scoring opportunities that Philadelphia had on Saturday was because he made a bad pass and wasn't making the right decision. And his yellow card accumulation for 8 out of 10 times, silly fouls, whether it's time wasting or it's an unnecessary, you know, being too strong in a situation you don't need to be, escalating things when you don't need to be. You know, center backs sometimes have to take those tactical yellow cards. We get it. Sergio Busquets, too, has taken a lot of tactical yellow cards. I wish he didn't have to take this one for the time wasting. It probably wasn't necessary. He'd probably take that one back. But for the most part, you have to give some yellow cards. The amount that Tomas Aviles has done this season has been incredibly detrimental to this team, and he continues to put the team in bad situations because of, I guess, lack of maturity and lack of not knowing how to handle himself in certain situations. And I think it just really takes away from what is clearly a very talented kid, but it's just unacceptable in my opinion.
Yeah, that's something that I think over the last occasions where he's gotten these red cards, gotten these yellow cards, put us in really bad, I think, really bad situations. I think has actually cost us games. I think we've tried to give him the benefit of the doubt at times. And for me, I've already gotten, I think, past that, right? Don't give him the benefit of the doubt anymore. To me, he is a good defender. But I think you can see the immaturity right now. You can see his age. He's a young kid. You can see his age, his lack of maturity, him not learning that there's a time and a place for tackles. There's a time and a place for, I think, for arguing a call. He doesn't sometimes identify how important a specific moment in a game is where he loses his cool. And I'm just beyond the point where I don't know if it's worth right now for this team to continue to have the confidence in this guy once they have somebody that can replace him. Right now, I think they don't have an option. Yeah. They don't have somebody that is better, that is at least up to par with him or better to play his position.
I think there is.
After this, I'm interested. I don't know of anybody right now, but I'd love to hear your.
Hey, moms, it's Mandy here, mom of two wild, wonderful teenage boys who both just wrapped up their braces journey with Shirk Orthodontics. And let me tell you, their smiles are absolutely stunning. But what made me really fall in love with Shirk Orthodontics wasn't just the results. It was how easy they made the whole process for me as a busy mom. Best part, other than 5 convenient locations, is they offer a free exam. Go online and book today at yoursmilemaker.com.
Mention code back to school smile at your new patient exam and receive clear ceramic braces valued at $450 free.
Perspective after, because that's interesting. But for me right now, there isn't anybody that can step in right now and you not feel like you'd lose anything right there. And if there was, I think that he would already be there. I don't think Aviles is playing because of the fact that, like, I don't think Aviles is in that position because they think he is not dispensable. Like right now, to me, he shouldn't be starting if we have a better option. He's just, we lost Champions Cup because of him. I think if I'm not like, I really do. I really think that we would have been able to win if it wasn't for him. I think that there are plenty more games left in this season. And right now he's at the point in the where it comes disciplinary wise, where I think every so many amount of yellow cards that he's going to get, he's going to continue to get suspended and suspended and suspended. And we can't do that anymore. I don't know what we can do anymore. I don't know what that can say to this kid anymore for him to really understand what he's doing. I really don't. And to me, I'm kind of done with him, to be honest with you. But
yeah, I mean,
what do you think?
Yeah, I've been saying this take for a long time ago before he continued to do the exact same thing where I said, yeah, he's completely talented, but it's not worth what he's doing. I think he's continuing to play this way because he thinks, to your point, there's no one better to replace him in the starting lineup, and he thinks it's his position. I'll give you someone who I would have replaced it starting tomorrow, and that's Ian Frey. And I say that because, you know, Chelo is sometimes, obviously, going forward, maybe not always the best. And if you said to me, pick only one right back, I would choose Ian Frey. But Chelo is the one who's getting the full minutes, and Chelo is the one who's the first team player and who is in the lineup and who is in the plans and who is in the strategy. Okay, fine. If that's what you're going to do, Ian Frey is your right center back then, because Ian Frey is immensely talented and has played center back before, knows what to do and can handle it. And he's quick and he's agile. He's, you know, more quick and agile than Saylor and Kristoff. And, you know, obviously it's not, he would prefer to be a right back than a center back, but he is completely capable of it. And so if you ask me, starting, even if Tomas Aviles is available, who is my best four defenders? It's Frey as the right center back right now, because I just don't trust Aviles in any game, in any circumstance, in any minute to make the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, best case scenario, yeah, that would happen. I just don't know if that trusts him enough to make
it. Maybe a health thing too, like, you know, but yeah.
Like, I feel like Kristoff is the guy that would be before Frey at the center back position, to me. It might be a health thing as well, But I mean, you bring a good point. Like, if the trust is there to make him the starting center back, yeah, I would be okay with Frey over Aviles. I don't think that Tata right now is going to make that step. I don't think he'll take that step. I think that he likes him better at right back, even though he doesn't start him, which is kind of strange. But look, with the defensive difficulties, with no Busquets available to slot in there, with obviously no Aviles, as we spoke about, with no Noah Allen, and then you've got Saylor, you've got Kristoff, who else that you have that can play that center back position? I don't know who else. I mean,
that's it. Ian Frey. Ian Those Frey. Are the only three.
So tomorrow, let's see if it's going to be Ian Frey. I would hope so. I would want Ian Frey there over Saylor. With who? With Kristoff, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. And I hate using the age thing too, just my last point on that. Because you know who's having to play, in my opinion, a much more difficult role and who's done it for the last 12 weeks and has 6 months of professional experience and manages to not get those disciplinary issues? Yannick Bright, who is not even done with his first full season as professional. Tomas Aviles, who has been a professional for multiple years. Yannick Bright has to do difficult tackles in tough situations, anticipate, be defensive, and he can manage to do it almost perfectly. So,
yeah,
the excuses have just run out for me with Tomas Aviles. And tomorrow is a perfect example of, with how many injuries we have, with the fact that this is a midweek game, it is just an unacceptable time and place to get a yellow card. I mean, yeah, you couldn't predict, you know, Martinez's injury, etc. Couldn't predict Noah Allen getting a concussion, but you're still putting yourself in a situation where you could potentially harm your teammates, and that's what he's done. So we'll have to see. And with that, you know, what is tomorrow going to look like? Because it's going to be, like I said, I don't want to call it exactly a trap game, but it's a difficult game because it's, once again, it's midweek. Once again, we are very light on defenders. We don't have Sergio Busquets, who, as we know, is obviously the conductor. And Atlanta United right now is in 10th place in the Eastern standings, one spot off from the playoffs, points away. And I think in their end are seeing this as a game where the cards are in their favor. It's a home game. It's against, you know, a team who's going to be depleted, and that they have to ride the momentum and they have to get points out of it. So it puts Inter Miami in a really difficult position.
Yeah. So for me, I think I'm not as worried about this game for Inter Miami. This is why I'm not worried. I'm not worried because, number one, I don't think Atlanta is a good team at all. I don't think they're doing good. They're in 10th place right now. I tried to look at last game this weekend against a team that also wasn't doing good in Philadelphia, that was in 11th place, and I tried to be more optimistic about how tough that game might be, and it wasn't. It was like, you know, it was just very easy for Inter Miami, especially when you've got Messi back, especially when Suarez is there. And I think that going based off of what was said in training today, Tata said that both Suarez and Messi were going to be available. So if Messi and Suarez are going to be available against a team that is currently 10th place right now, I don't care where they're playing. I don't care if they're playing in Chase Stadium. I don't care if they're playing at Mercedes-Benz Field. I don't care if they're playing on Mars or on the moon. Like, if you got Suarez and Messi on there, I'm very confident that they're going to whoop this team. I think they're going to whoop them. I think that when you look at a team that has lost three, they're 2-1, I believe, over, let's see right here. They are currently, So they, since being knocked out of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, they have recorded one win and two losses as I'm looking at this. So they haven't done well. They just got absolutely embarrassed in their last game by Nashville, who is number 14 right now. So they're not doing well at all. Inter Miami has won 5 straight games, and they got the best player in the world now back. And I think that Inter Miami is just the best team in the league right now. There's no way I'm like an inkling.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Like, I'm not,
wait. The only thing I will say is this. Look, whereas Atlanta has 0.0000 chance of winning, there is a small chance that they may score. There's a small chance. That I will give. There's a small chance that they will score. Inter Miami has only one clean sheet in their last five games. And now they're going away from home with no Busquets, no Aviles, no David Martinez, no Noah Allen. So this defense is decimated. So I think that, again, taking into consideration that even when they were fully healthy, they only had one clean sheet in the last five games. So we'll give it. That's the only thing I'll give to Atlanta. They may score. They may. That's the only thing. Other than that, I mean, there's nothing Atlanta can possibly do. I would say to the Atlanta fans, enjoy Messi. I mean, that's the only reason you're gonna go, right? You're not gonna go there to see your team get a victory. Being clipped up, yeah. Say it. Just enjoy Messi. It's gonna be fun. You'll probably see Suarez score. You'll probably see Messi score. And then after that, I don't know what else to tell you. Enjoy the food. I don't know, but this is in the bag. The W is in the bag for us. That's all I can say.
My God.
Hey, look, I've tried to be objective in the past. But what I am telling you, what I'm saying is being supported by facts. You're talking about a team that just lost against Nashville, that is 2-1 since Champions Cup.
Okay. All right.
That's what I gotta say. That's what I gotta say.
Okay. Yo creo que. I'm not necessarily as confident. Well, look, I'll put it this way. I agree we should win, and we are the better team, and we have the better role players, we have the better subs, all of those things. We've been in better form, better coaching. It's all of it. You're right. I would say the Philadelphia game I don't think was necessarily as easy as you're making it seem. I think that if what man of match wasn't Leo Messi, it was going to be Drake Callender, because Drake had two out-of-pocket incredible double saves where Philadelphia could have easily have scored either goal, and it would have, you know, I think we still would have won and we would have scored more, but I don't think it was just as much of a cakewalk. But maybe, you know, like maybe I'm being too, you know, too cautious, and I hope you're right, and I think we should win. We are the better team, and if we, you know, if we have Messi, we have Suarez, we have Suarez, we have Alba, we have, you know, all of those other players. Agreed. I hope we get the win. It'll be a fun game, and it'll be a good environment for sure. I think it'll be fun for them playing there. Who is going to play, and what is the score going to be to kind of finish this one off? I'll start by saying, you know, I'm not going to go. You know what? I will. I'm going to give you my starting 11. I don't feel particularly confident that it's going to be chosen, by the way, but this is what I see as a starting 11.
Okay.
The first one is an easy swap, which is it's going to be Yannick Bright instead of Sergio Busquets. However, I do want to say that moving forward, I think that decision is actually going to be harder because, yeah, we turned it around. But if we had not scored in the first half, I think almost every pundit, every reporter, every fan in halftime was going to be tweeting, Bright should be in for Russell. If we hadn't scored, that's what everyone was thinking and what everyone was saying, because it was a clear drop off in terms of the and again, it's really not Gressel's fault, because he's done what he's been asked to do, but just the defensive fluidity and just the movement of the ball when you have both Busquets and Bright playing makes the team much, much better. So that'll be a future thing for Tata to, you know, have to worry about, not for tomorrow, because Busquets isn't playing. So yeah, the midfield I think is going to be Gressel, Busquets, and Redondo. I think I would actually even say, I'm not going to say it in my starting, but you may even see a Kremaski instead of Redondo, just to get some rotation, because Redondo obviously has had injuries in the past and he's been playing a lot of minutes. So I could see a world where maybe Redondo doesn't start for this game. I hope he does, but I could see a world where that happens. Front three is going to be – it's going to be Suarez and Messi. I can maybe see a world where it's not Suarez because of turf, maybe, but like similar to the New England Revolution game where Messi did play the whole game, but Suarez only came in for the second half. Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to say they're going to both start for now. I will make a change at left wing. I think it's going to not be Gomez. I think it's going to be Robert Taylor, because I think Gomez really does need the rest. And he was taken out of the last game because he was feeling a little tightness in his muscle. He's fine. He was, you know, walking fine. And I think he's available to play. I just think they're going to – I don't think he's going to start. I think it's going to be Robert Taylor who gets to start. Defense, this is where we're starting to – now we're really having to figure out what's cooking. Right back, Chelo. That's the only one I feel confident in so far. I think, obviously, left back Jordi Alba, but I could see a position where he could say he wants to play Negri at left back and maybe even have Jordi Alba as almost like a left center back to fill in that spacing a little bit and have both of them start. I don't think so. I'm going to say it's going to be Jordi Alba, but if you see Negri in the starting lineup, I wouldn't be surprised is what I'm going to say. But yeah. And I think it's going to be Christoph and Ian Frey.
Christoph and Ian Frey. Okay.
I know I gave kind of like a starting 15, but it is 11. And like I said, there's a couple of them where I think there's room for rotation or to try something different, but I'm saying it as if he's not going to change it.
Okay. I think that with the defense so decimated right now, I think that Tata's probably going to go to a back line of five, I think. And if he does, then for me, it's going to be Jordi on the left with Chelo on the right. And in the mid, you're going to have three center backs that are probably going to be Christoph, Ian Frey, and Saylor. And then in the middle, you're going to have what's it called? You're going to have Redondo, you're going to have Gomez, and then you're going to have, ¿cómo se llama? Bright. Sorry, Bright. So you'll have Bright, those three, and then you'll have Suarez and Messi up top. That's what I think will happen, simply because I don't think that Tata's going to trust that defense.
Yeah,
he's not going to trust that defense where he'll only have two center backs, and those two center backs are going to be Ian Frey. Those center backs would be center backs that never play together and don't really get minutes. Christoph doesn't get minutes. Saylor doesn't get minutes. And Ian Frey doesn't get many minutes. And when he does, it's at right back. So I don't think that he'll have enough trust where he's just going to play with two center backs. And then, yeah, so I think that that's something that we've seen him experiment with. And I think he's gotten better at playing that back line of five. He's done much better than he was at the beginning of the season, where when we were playing that back line of five, we were actually getting scored on more. I think he's just done a better job of finding a better iteration of it.
What was the abbreviation we used to say? I think some of those players aren't even on our team anymore. I can't remember what it was.
I forgot what it was.
Back three.
What was that abbreviation that we had?
AKA.
That was Alan, Christoph, and Aviles, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that one was like a fishnet letting everything through.
We still have all three of them, but
yeah. So I think that that's what it'll look like. I think that it's going to be tough to tell because there's just so many variables right now to some of them you mentioned yourself. Like there's, it's a midweek game. So, who's he going to rest? Is he going to rest somebody? Something like Robert Taylor being up can be an option that you mentioned. The only thing I would say with the Robert Taylor thing is taking out Gomez and putting in a guy like Robert Taylor, you still have the attack, but you don't have as much as a defense. And when you're already lacking in defense, and you have Messi and Suarez up top already, I don't know if Tata's going to want to be like, all right, let me get rid of a little more defense that I would have with Gomez or maybe like Gressel and throw in a guy that Robert Taylor, who nothing against him because he's actually played times where he has to come back and he's done okay, but you have more of that with other guys. So that would be my only thing with that, but definitely it's an option with midweek game. You've got to maybe rest some guys or give them less minutes. So it's going to be interesting, really.
It really will be. I'll be really excited. And I'll also say this, we're putting the video out today. If anyone guesses the starting lineup, you'll also get a shout out tomorrow because I think it's really tricky. I mean, you could, like I said, you could see an instance where Kramaski, Ruiz, and Taylor all start. Campana could start. Like, I mean, there's so many options. I just think for Gomez, like, I think it's honestly like a fatigue issue. Like, I think I'd be pretty surprised if he started tomorrow. I really would, because he came out feeling his leg. He was very tired. He cramped up. Yeah. He got knocks, and he's been injured a few times already this season. So I just can see maybe they're going to be careful with him. But it will be very, very interesting. It'll be a fun midweek game to watch. In terms of score predictions, since you won, you can go first this week, this game.
Well, based on what I said, you're probably imagining 10-0, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that Inter Miami will win, obviously, and I think they're going to win very convincingly.
You think?
Very convincingly, I think they will win. I think they're going to win 4-1 on this one. And I think their only reason that the only thing I'm giving to Atlanta again is they're going to get that one goal. It'll be nice for the fans to celebrate that one goal. But I guess I just enjoy the game. It'll be fun. Have a bunch of fun. You're going to watch Messi and Suarez. I'm so kidding. 4-1.
I think 4-2 is what 4-2? I've had in my head for the last 10 minutes. I think it will be easy for us to score goals, but I also think it will be easy for them to score goals, but I think we will score more. So that's why I think it will be 4-2.
We believe in Christoph. We believe in Christoph.
I said a shutout for the last game, and 57 seconds is all it took for that to happen. So I'm not risking that again. I'm saying 4-2. Let us know in the comments what you think. Gian is very confident, and I love it. I mean, there's no reason for you to be wrong about what you're saying based on, you know, the sample size we've had, the way this team has been playing, what we should be doing. I just think, like I said, it's midweek. There's a lot of variables, a lot of injuries, a lot of, I think, going to be changes in the starting lineup to give people rest. And a team that's trying to make it to the playoffs, I think those all make a difference in what would just be on paper. So we'll, but I still think we're going to win, and hopefully we win convincingly. So it'll be fun. But as always, thank you so much for watching Messi & Co. Make sure you're following us on Twitter/X at Messi & Co. Like Gian said in the beginning of the video, please make sure that you are subscribing on YouTube, liking the video, turning on the notifications for 5 Reasons Sports, commenting your predictions or starting lineups or just your thoughts about the episode and the game and Messi and so much. And we're just really, we're happy to be back. We're so happy with all these games. It's fun. I'll be live tweeting tomorrow, giving our thoughts, so make sure you're following. And last but not least, like Gian said, download Prize Picks, use code 5, enter some fun props if you want about, you know, this Inter Miami game and the rest of the MLS season, and let us know what you do. So thank you for watching this episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley, that is Gian, and we will see you next time.
Here's a friendly suggestion. Those beautiful views deserve some new frames. Custom designs and superior service make getting new windows a work of art. A free, no-pressure renewal by Andersen consultation is just a call or click away. When it's time to talk windows, we'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.